Next up are 693 and 694. They will be read together. They'll be voted on separately.
693, approve the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission fiscal year 2018-19 budget. And 694, authorized grant agreement with Portland Community Media for public educational and governmental access resources, and to provide community media and digital literacy services on a citywide basis, not to exceed $912,514. Also, Mayor, I'm sorry, I took in the sign-up sheets early, so if anybody wanted to speak for the public testimony, just come up here.
Very good. Colleagues, Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission is a long-standing intergovernmental partnership among Gresham, Fairview, Troutdale, Wood Village, Multnomah County, and the City of Portland. The cities and the county each contribute to the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission's annual budget, which funds about half of their operating budget. The Council's special appropriation for the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission budget is slightly more than $300,000, and it's included in the City's fiscal year 18-19 approved budget. Portland's special appropriation goes to administer about $8 million in community technology-related benefits throughout the City and the rest of the county. The Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission also advocates for local authority and compensation for cable company use of the public right-of-way. I would like to thank Sue Disciple, and she's not here today, but Leith Hansen, for their service on the commission. Citizen appointees who contribute hundreds of hours annually to represent the public interest in the ever-changing communications technology environment have a lot of hard work to do, and we're greatly appreciative of their service. So I understand we're going to start off with Leith Hansen, who's the Portland appointee to the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission.
Thank you for being here. Thank you, Mary Wheeler and the commissioners. So my name is Leith Hansen. I'm the current chair of the MHCRC. I'm also one of the two Portland representatives that you've appointed to the commission. Beside me is Julia Mulchek. She's our program manager and works within the Office of Community Technology on our behalf. I'm going to just kind of run through a handful of our accomplishments. I won't do as much of the introduction since, thank you, Mayor, you did that for me. In front of you, you've got two documents. You've got the budget report, and you've also got our annual report. I'll kind of be referencing both documents as I run through sort of the highlights. Portland has two cable service franchises, Comcast and CenturyLink, and we provide oversight, enforcement, public benefit responsibilities for those franchisees within the cities and the county. As the annual report points out, the MHCRC deals with ever-changing technology to support community needs. Of those, local authority over public rights-of-way and compensation, we act as a consumer watchdog platform for community voices. Affordable broadband networks for schools, libraries, and local governments is in our purview. And local solutions for addressing digital equity issues. Over the past year, the MHCRC has provided many services to our communities and residents. We continue to work with public school districts under the TechSmart initiative. If you look at the annual report, page 4, you'll see that initiative detailed out. Portland Public Schools, David Douglas, Centennial, and Park Rose school districts all have active grants with us. Thus far, the MHCRC has spent over $11.5 million out of our long-term investment goal of $19 million on those projects. 210 classroom teachers in 6 school districts are now supported by these resources. The Community Technology Competitive Round Grant Round is the other grant program that, that we support. That's detailed within the annual report on page 6. We've funded 8 new grants this past year with community organizations and leveraged over $2.9 million in matching resources. These grants are responsible to needs identified by the community and support organizations to use technology in addressing those issues. For example, MHCRC grants are supporting the Boys and Girls Club in Rockwood and Outside the Frame to address the needs of their low-income and homeless youth. Multnomah County Library is using its grant to develop an online database of digital inclusion resources so that community organizations can connect their clients to free and low-cost computer training devices. And the Portland Fire Bureau also received funding this past year to greatly improve network connectivity and provide equipment at 28 fire stations so that firefighters can take training online during their time at the stations. Affordable broadband has become more and more critical to our local public institutions. The MHCRC facilitates the institutional network, which is a public-private partnership with 18 public agencies and Comcast. Partnership provides high-speed, affordable broadband connectivity to 316 schools, libraries, public agencies throughout the county. The MHCRC, we're also working with the cities and the county on the long-term network planning for that institutional system. We provide funding and franchise enforcement support to OpenSignal. I would like to note that MHCRC has recently approved a four-year grant agreement with OpenSignal, actually just this past Monday, for capital funds, and encourages the City Council to support the OpenSignal grant for city funding. This past year, OpenSignal and community members produced over 3,500 hours of original local programming. They also trained over 730 residents in digital media and literacy skills. Not to steal their thunder, they'll be up here shortly. The MHCRC addressed consumer protection issues both broadly and with individual subscribers. For example, the MHCRC worked with cable companies on issues related to clear information to subscriber bills, on-time appointments, phone answering and time frame and service fees. There were 134 such complaints from this past year that that we dealt with. And coming up in our fiscal year 18-19, the MHCRC continues to be engaged in a future focus planning initiative, considering the rapidly evolving technologies as they intersect with public policy. Our community is increasing reliance on the availability of broadband and renewed interest by the participating cities in each of your smart city planning initiatives. The MHCRC is working hard to adapt its role to maintain and grow its future relevance. We intend to work with you and your staff and our communities to identify needs and opportunities for our broadband future. The budget includes, a few comments with respect to the finances, the budget document that you've got in front of you. I'm happy to report that once again the MHCRC received a clean audit for fiscal year 16-17. The full audit document is available on the MHCRC's website. I also wanted to note a couple of trends we're seeing in cable revenue. On page 9 of the annual report, you'll see two graphs that show these trends. The total number of cable TV subscribers remain about the same as they were roughly 10 years ago. And franchise fees revenues have steadily increased up and through the last fiscal year. However, actual revenues, as we look at those through first to third quarter of the present fiscal year of 2017-18, have shown a decrease over the over the previous year's quarters. So that's the first time in the 10-year window that we've seen that. The MHCRC has been closely watching these trends and anticipated implications for franchise fee revenues for local governments and for revenues that support MHCRC community grants and other programs. The fiscal year 18-19 budget reflects the projected decrease in franchise fee and PEG INET fee revenues. The proposed 18-19 fund budget primarily contains resources gained through cable franchise agreements and expenditures of the resources for purposes dictated by the franchises or in the intergovernmental agreement. Annual allocations from all the MHCRC jurisdictions collectively fund about half the MHCRC total operating budget. The remaining portion of the budget is funded by other resources, mostly to administer the dedicated capital fee revenue and related programs, such as the MHCRC Community Grants, the INET, and Community Media. Portland's allocation for fiscal year 18-19, Mayor, as you mentioned, is $304,998. Or in another way of viewing that number, roughly 5% of cable franchise fees spent on regulation and program-related administration. Before closing, I want to thank the mayor and council for supporting this countywide partnership since 1993. With that support, the MHCRC has been successful at convening community members, public agencies to steward and creatively leverage resources and regulatory authority to amplify the benefit for all. Over the coming year, we're excited to work with you to explore and discover how to leverage our success as we adapt to the evolving needs of our city and community. Thank you for your time today. As always, please contact me or the OCT staff with any questions, ideas, or concerns. And finally, I respectfully request that Portland City Council approve the fiscal year 2018-19 MHCRC fund budget.
Colleagues, any questions? Commissioner Fritz.
First, thank you for all the work that you do, Chair Hansen, and the whole committee. I think people really recognize, it's always astonishing to me when I get the annual report, that this committee, this commission, first of all, you got to work with all the other jurisdictions, which is both an honor and privilege and a challenge sometimes. So I think that that's unique, that and the 911 board are about the only two. Excuse me a second. But second of all, we approve this budget, but it's you, the commission, who have put it together, who have decided who's going to get the grants, and you're spending, you said, $11 million. I don't know of too many citizen volunteer opportunities where you really have direction over that amount of money, and I greatly respect the amount of work and diligence you put in to make sure that it goes to the right places and that, you know, building on the Digital Equity Action Plan. So I don't have a question except how do you do it? How do you? I mean, it must be hours and hours and hours of work every week.
It is a fair amount of work, yes. But it is a great privilege, as you mentioned. We're involved in some great great programs. We take the responsibility of spending that amount of money very seriously, and we really could not do it without the amazing staff at OCT that we leverage. To be able to pull it all together.
So now that you've had the experience of doing some of these grants and been working on the Digital Equity Action Plan, are there particular ways that the money is invested that seems to bring the most benefit?
Well, I think one of the really new things that we've done in the past few years has been the TechSmart initiative and thinking more than 1 year at a time. So trying to look longer term at some of the greater challenges, more systemic type challenges like classroom outcomes, student outcomes, in our high schools, middle schools, and to watch that evolve and now see the third year into that program, which will be this upcoming year, we're going to start really drawing more meaning from the grants themselves and metrics that we're gathering along the way. And I think that has been very fulfilling to watch and to see. And I think that that's been a real change in just the last few years, how we've done things. And I really think it's for the positive.
Thank you.
Very good. Do we have public testimony on this or items 693 or 694, Carla?
Yes, we have two people signed up.
Very good.
Please come on up, Dan Handelman and Charles Bridgecrane Johnson.
Fantastic. You can cool your heels. Good presentation.
Thank you.
We're going to hear from Open Signal as well.
I apologize. I'm a little. We've never had two agenda items move together, and So we do have the Open Signal grant agreement.
That's next.
Also, but
let's go ahead and hear that, and then we'll take the testimony together.
Thank you. Whatever your pleasure.
Good. Thanks. Great. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Commissioner.
Thank you. I know you all have had a very busy schedule and had to rearrange a couple things. So I thank you for bearing with me of being
we
having
are not
two agenda
too busy
items
for this.
Together.
No, this was my doing. I combined the two, and I believed I was supposed to do that. But we want to give you a full hearing on this because we love the work you do. So thanks for being here.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You. So I'm Julie O'Malchuk, and I'm a program manager with the Office for Community Technology. And I'm here today with Justin Harn and Rebecca Burrell from Open Signal.
Welcome.
To talk about the grant agreement that we are proposing, a one-year grant agreement that provides community media and digital literacy services throughout the city. I'd just like to take a minute to highlight a couple of things that have shifted from your last grant agreement with Open Signal, and then I'd like to turn it over to Open Signal to talk a little bit more deeply about their programs. So, as you know, the Open Signal grant agreement supports the Broadband Strategic Plan and the Digital Equity Action Plan. More detail about specifics on that are in your meeting packet for today. But I wanted to highlight a couple of things more specifically in the scope of work. As you know, the Digital Equity Action Plan focuses on people of color, English language learners, and people with disabilities. And this new scope of work specifically calls out training, culturally responsive and relevant and affordable training for those populations to use media and broadband technologies competently. Another shift is around workforce development. We have two areas in the scope of work that are supporting those. One is for Open Signal to develop partnerships focused on assisting people from underrepresented populations to gain digital literacy skills needed for education and employment. And there are reporting metrics around that, and I know they're going to talk a little bit about keeping up on technology around workforce development. And then the next thing is offering internships to support people from underrepresented populations in developing career-ready and technology competencies and experience necessary for jobs in the digital economy. And one of the things in working with Open Signal over this last year on updating the scope of work was the realization that as a community media center, they have a lot of opportunity to have interns with them that they can help those folks gain digital technology skills, leadership skills, workforce skills that they can then build their resumes on as well. And so we've built that into the scope of work this year for their grant agreement. And then the last thing I just wanted to note was Open Signal has been very active in the Digital Inclusion Network. I know a couple of your staff members and Mayor Wheeler attended the Digital Inclusion Summit. I just wanted to say that we've also, in their scope of work, talked about collaborating with other organizations throughout Portland to build community media and digital literacy capacity throughout nonprofits. As Chair MHCRC Chair Hansen noted, the MHCRC has approved a kind of a companion grant to this one to provide the capital resources for Open Signal to fulfill its scope of work in your grant agreement. And in addition to that, to the digital literacy work, Open Signal will continue to program the six cable channels, including the video programming from both your council meetings and your community budget forums, and also distribute that that programming on video on demand on the cable systems and streaming over the internet. I think with that, I would like to turn it over to Justin and Rebecca for them to talk about their services.
Great. Before you do that, Dan, Commissioner Saltzman, I just want to make sure you can still hear us okay.
Yes, I can.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Justin Harn. I'm the executive director at Open Signal, Portland Community Media Center, and it's my pleasure to present this afternoon, sharing out our many successes as well as our goals for the future in support of next year's grant agreement with the City of Portland. We come to City Hall today at the culmination, as you'll know, of over 2 years of thoughtful planning, hard work, engagement to transform this organization to be more responsible, accessible, and vital than ever before. In 2015, the Board of Portland Community Media launched a strategic planning process that set us on a course to reflect digital technology needs in the 21st century, make better use of our assets, and to take an assertive approach to addressing equity. This year, we've continued that, engaging Joy Elise Davis, Executive Director of the Portland African American Leadership Forum, to engage the community in comprehensive visioning to further inform our way forward. In the past 2 years, we've hired leadership staff, created new equity-driven programs, and renovated our building. Our staff and board are growing to more accurately reflect the community we serve. 57% of our staff and 71% of our board are people of color. Every city council session, committee hearing, and community meeting associated with the City of Portland is recorded for the public to see so we can further this message of democracy. Connecting people is our civic duty. In 2017, we broadcast a total of 148 city council meetings.
That means we sat through
148.
Ouch. Thanks for the reminder.
We all went. We all go on. Feel sorrier for.
It's a lot of fun.
Sure it is.
We are the largest community media center in the Pacific Northwest with a 10,000 square foot media facility, two media production studios with full green screen cyclorama, and a large studio that's 2,000 square feet. Open Signal provides 5 cable channels airing local and independently produced content, reaching 400,000 homes in the Portland metro area in 6 languages. The diversity of our programming is growing and evolving constantly to reflect the city's rapidly changing citizenry. One of the biggest benefits is our media equipment library, which is valued at over $650,000, including professional-grade cameras, lighting, microphones, iPads, MacBook Pro laptops, fully loaded with state-of-the-art production software, and more. The public is invited to check out this equipment in order to create content to air on our channels. We are a proud member of the Digital Inclusion Network and committed stakeholder to the Digital Equity Action Plan. We are grateful for the opportunity to support the Digital Inclusion Summit last month by offering resources, space, and staff connections to help lead the nation in the mission for digital access and equity along with Comcast, Free Geek, Multnomah County Library, Prosper Portland, Work Systems Inc., Elders in Action, Portland Public Schools, and many others. We offer education in both English and Spanish at the best rates in the city. Our education for youth and adults provides affordable beginner and advanced classes covering Macintosh basics, camera and production studio operation, editing, animation, and more. This provides accessible workforce training for people who can't afford higher education or unpaid internships. For youth, we offer after-school programs and summer camp and a longtime partnership with Open School North, an alternative middle school for non-traditional learners who have left our public school systems. Our community events bring together the neighborhood on Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, where we are proud to be located, and provide screenings, immersive media events, and exhibitions. We're serving more of the community than we ever have. In a single year, we tripled the number of Portlanders that we engage through events, education, cable broadcast, production, and community partnerships. We continue to do more with our city dollars than ever before, incubating immersive video, virtual and augmented reality programming, providing cutting-edge, innovative, cost-effective storytelling modalities accessible to all. The future of Open Signal is a new era of equity, access, and positive community impact and transformation through media arts. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Rebecca Burrell, and I am the Director of Strategy and Development at Open Signal. All of our work, as you know, is completed thanks to the support and oversight of Julio Melchuk and the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, or MHCRC. We are very grateful to the MHCRC for providing systems that hold us accountable to the city and to the public. Through the reports that we provide every 6 months to the MHCRC, we have been able to track the following recent highlights that I will share with you now. Last year, OpenSignal provided media training, TV broadcast, and community engagement to more than 5,244 youth and adults, more than tripling the total number of people we engaged over the previous year. We offered 95 evening and weekend classes to the public in English and Spanish, donating 100 spots to students in need. In the last half of 2017, 48% of our students reported annual income under $30,000 per year. We loaned our state-of-the-art laptops, cameras, and other equipment to the public for free for more than 150,000 hours. We broadcast 943 new programs produced by the community in English, Spanish, Russian, Romanian, Farsi, and Chinese through our cable channels. We provided 144-hour media training to more than 30 students at Open School North, a middle school for non-traditional learners who have left the public school system. We connected 15 high school students to mentors at local digital agency Instrument, which is just down the street from our space, through our free after-school program. We collaborated with Portland Workforce Alliance, Lentz Youth Initiative, Urban League of Portland, Vanport Mosaic, Women in Film, Media Institute for Social Change, and many, many other community groups. And last month, we instituted a membership program with a $1 annual fee, keeping our facility accessible for all. We know that the professional film and video industry is lacking in diversity. In fact, a 2016 study by the University of Southern California tells us that 87.3% of film directors are white and 90.4% of broadcast TV directors are white. So we are investing heavily in workforce development for media makers of color. The past 2 years, through a partnership with the Governor's Office of Film and the Oregon Media Production Association, we have placed emerging leaders of color on professional sets, including Grimm, The Librarians, Portlandia, and Documentary Now. This summer, we are really excited to launch a year-long fellowship program providing intensive training and professional production opportunities to emerging African-American media makers. We are also currently developing a female and POC-led in-house digital production outfit where up-and-coming media makers from underrepresented communities will be invited to take part in professional productions, gaining necessary industry experience and providing access to family wage jobs. And finally, I am happy to report that our executive director, Justin Harn, will be honored tomorrow as one of Portland's 40 Under 40 by the Portland Business Journal for his vision and profound ability to revitalize OpenSignal and secure our place as an essential part of the Portland community. Good. So thank you to each of you individually for your consistent support of our work and to the city at large for continuous investment over the course of our organization's 37-year history. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good. Any questions before we move to public testimony?
That's great.
We had two individuals signed up, Bridge Crane and Dan Handel, I believe, were the two.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great presentation. We appreciate it. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and City Commissioners. I'm Dan Handelman. Today I'm representing Flying Focus Video Collective. Flying Focus wants to be clear up front that we support the council agenda item to fund OpenSignal Portland Community Media for the next fiscal year. As beneficiaries of OSPCM's facilities for 27 years, it's difficult to say enough about how important their facility is to the public and to the underpinnings of our democracy. In February, Council declared Producer Day from the City of Portland to highlight the work of those who make programs at OSPCM. Flying Focus was mentioned in that proclamation. Thank you. And one of our members was hand-selected to give testimony. I was in the audience that day and was unable to testify because of a policy limiting public input on reports given to Council. We recognize that there's deep concern about cable subscriber fees starting to plummet as more and more people get their television programs through other platforms. OSPCM's intended mission is to make their facilities available to everyone, especially underserved populations. And they've done a good job getting the word out about their revamped name through aggressive marketing. However, they are now asking producers to pay membership fees on top of sometimes steep class fees. We urge Council to join us in helping OSPCM find ways to fund this incredibly important facility without balancing its budget off the backs of volunteer producers. Producers put in dozens to hundreds of hours of time in order to create programs to fill OSPCM's channels. Years ago, PCM instituted a $50 per producer annual fee, which prompted quite a number of people to stop using the facility. Flying Focus as a collective decided to pay one membership fee to cover all our producers since we needed one program slot. That fee was wisely dropped a few years later and participation resumed. Well, SPCM's current policy is something they claim would be radically inclusive at $1 per person per year. They originally said they would not raise the amount, adding they would use a box of dollar bills in the front lobby to subsidize those who can't afford it. But soon after that announcement, they are now saying the membership is between $1 and $45. And if you want to donate $90, it will cover another person's membership. We've been trying to engage the board and staff in a discussion about how this is going to drive people away and threaten OSPCM's mission to no avail. We recently talked to a woman with years of production experience elsewhere in Portland who, prior to the membership fee, said she didn't want to learn how to produce at OSPCM because classes were too expensive. This was a chance encounter and not prompted by our expressing concerns. We asked the board to compensate for the compulsory membership fees by either allowing producers to vote on the board, as is done at KBOO and other community media organizations, or setting aside a seat on the board for a producer with 5 or more years' experience at OSPCM. They have done neither. One of two board members nominated by the mayor and confirmed by council has his term coming up this November. If the OSPCM board does not act to reserve a seat for a producer, perhaps council can consider doing so. Regardless, we encourage the mayor to take time to meet with the board members who are affirmed by council, since those appointees give the city a vested interest in the operations of OSPCM. We fully support the stated mission and operation of OSPCM, even though we have some concerns about the decisions being made currently. We urge you to support this grant, and we hope you will work with us to encourage the board to figure out ways to diversify funding without risking cutting out those who cannot afford their own equipment.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And I very much would like to take you up on that offer to meet with the board. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Oh, that's different microphones than across the river. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Charles Bridgecrane Johnson. And it's always a pleasure to testify, whether he's speaking about Plain Focus or Portland Cop Watch. We learned so much from the testimony of Dan.
So I find the mics, they're very
sure,
like
find
6 inches.
Sure, maybe right there.
Yeah, that's better, a little better.
Or even a little further away.
Yeah,
thank you.
About 6 inches.
All right.
There you go. Perfect.
So, thank you. So,
and action.
And what a great class. We need to get these exact microphones replicated across the river at Open Signal so that we can all have experience. It occurred to me that there's two city employees, Scott Ellerston and Rebecca Gibbons, that dovetail with this work. So I hope that the comment that Mr. Handelman made about community representative on the Open Signal board, something that you all can engage with them about. And also, this is a great use of public service Comcast fee-generated dollars towards meaningful life for people in Portland and to help people, especially that are low income, on the wrong side of the digital divide, to connect. This is a sort of a sad week in Portland. We've had a resident who's so distressed about their inability to get traction with important issues that they've set themselves on fire and died here in our city just 2 blocks away. So it's always an important work for this commission and our county commission to find ways that people that are marginalized can engage and have meaningful, productive lives, opportunities to get from despair, especially people who cannot, for whatever reason, connect with regular wage workplace jobs. So the other issue, I think, is I was glad that the public testimony was delayed until the second item because there was a little bit mention of digital divide. But I think that if you reflect upon what we just heard, there was a little bit of a shortage of numbers about actual impact we're having. We did great numbers about the board and inclusion in the administration at Open Signal, but it'd be great if there are some tools in the software that they have so that they know how they're doing a better job of actually connecting with communities of color and people of disability to really make meaningful action against, to breach the digital divide, to make sure that students at lower income and lower resource schools are equally empowered with award-winning schools like Lincoln. So I hope that maybe next year when we have an even more diverse city commission with a woman of color sitting on it, go Joanne Hardesty, we will have some concrete nuts and bolts numbers beyond the great progress that's been made on the Open Signal board and maybe even some testimony from individuals. I'm going to have to go have a little discussion with Ibrahim Mubarak. I know that they've done some great work and been very happy with Open Signal. Mayor, sometimes you're looking for bragging rights. It was noted that we have more community media space just at Open Signal than the other second-rate city up there in the Metro Seattle area. And that doesn't even include Portland Metro East. people who are listening at home, most of this information is best found just by going to mhcrc.org, which will link you to your community media. Thank you.
Excellent. And that's the perfect way to end it. Colleagues, any further questions before we call the roll? Very good. So this is item 693. Please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you. I wanted to thank the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission in particular for its grant to help Portland Fire and Rescue become more, help our stations become more wired and connected to our community. It's a great step for everybody's public safety. Hi.
You Daly.
Well, thank you to the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission and to the chair for being here today, as well as our hardworking city staff. And Open Signal, I'm so impressed with how your organization is evolving, and these numbers are exciting and also exhausting, especially the 148 Portland City Council meetings that you broadcast last year. I'm hoping to find some ways to collaborate, whether through my office or through one of my bureaus. So let's put that on our to-do list for the coming year. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Thank you very much for the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission report. It's always astonishing how much work you do, and I particularly thank Leif Hansen and Carol Studenman, who are our city's representative, and looking at the rest of the board, it doesn't seem possible that so few people could do so much work. And thank you for your support of the staff. It is a new opportunity with the Office for Community Technology moving to being its own entity again. Sounds like there will be some vying for the mayor's attention in getting that assignment when the bureaus are handed out. So I look forward to seeing how we can continue to elevate the work that you do, and appreciate it very much. Thank you. Aye.
Wheeler.
Not everything we get to do in our 148 council sessions per year is always fun. Sometimes it's very difficult. This is very easy. We appreciate the report. We appreciate the fact that this is truly a community-facing organization. It's a fantastic partnership. It's inclusive in all the ways that we want to see inclusiveness take hold in our community. And I've heard so many stories from people who participate in various programs. Ultimately, this inspires people, it engages them, it brings people together, and potentially for people, it launches careers. And so there is also a personal and family and community prosperity message that's embedded here as well. Special shout out to Justin Harn, 40 under 40. That's impressive to be identified amongst all the people in our community who do great things. And there are so many young people in our community who are just exceptional leaders. So to be called out among those leaders is impressive. And the older I get, anybody under 40 seems impressive to me. So a shout out there as well. I'm very pleased to support this. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Item 694, please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Well, I wanted to echo the mayor's congratulations to Justin on his award tomorrow. And in general, to just acknowledge the outstanding leadership that has been brought to Open Signal, including its name change, Open Signal. I think it's really brought a breath of fresh air to Portland community media, and I'm very pleased with the leadership and direction it's taking. Hi.
You Daly.
Well, congratulations to Jason, and thank you to the whole Open Signal crew. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, in the 10 years that I've been here, Portland Community Media and now Open Signal has really undergone a sea change, and I really appreciate the work that people have done. Sue Disciple has been on the board on and off for all that time. Is still on the board, I believe, right? And has been truly another citizen community member who has helped steer it. For those who testified, you couldn't see the faces of Rebecca and Jason, Justin behind them, but they were listening intently, and I know that your concerns are their concerns. And so I'm really pleased with how Open Signal is serving our community. I believe it's a shining example of how we share resources, including access to media, access to how you do media, and that, of course, is the door opener for a lot of for access to information, for access to shaping the information, and I appreciate what you do very much. Also want to shout out former director Cece Hughley-Noel, who was definitely part of changing the direction, and I will always remember that. So thank you very much.
Wheeler.
Information is empowerment. Information is power. Digital literacy is at the heart of that. That's your mission. We support it. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you. A great presentation. Fantastic testimony. Thank you all. Next item.